on tonight's Hillbilly Nerd Talk. What have we been doing? The War of the Stars, Playboy's Back, A Bill for a Date, A Mermaid for Hire, and the German National Anthem.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk with Hank and Petra.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk. I'm Hank.
And I'm Petra.
I've got a front row view out of our loft of the Hazard Popo pulling somebody over.
It's always exciting.
We always have something going on outside our window. For a little town of Hazard, I tell you, there always is shit going on.
Yeah, there is. There is. But any town of any size has stuff going on, and we're on a busy corner, so we get it. So,
but this town is, it's really like those southern movie towns. Like, whatever this guy did, he must have really fucked up to get pulled over by one of our city police.
Yeah, because I drive past him going 10 miles an hour over the speed limit routinely. they never mess with me.
I do rolling stops. Look, they've let this guy go, whatever it is, nothing big.
Nothing big. Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, I do all kinds of shit around here and never get pulled over.
We should brag about that. We're terrible people.
We're jinxing ourselves, but still.
Yeah. All right, everybody, hold your breath for us both to get a ticket next week.
Yes, I did. Just seal the deal, I suppose.
You did.
But.
You did it for both of us.
I guess so. Well, this week has been a big week for me, Petra.
It sure has.
Tell them what's going on with me this week.
You're unemployed and driving yourself a little bit crazy right now, I think.
I got to hurry up and fake a disability so I can get some insurance.
Okay, if that's what you want to do.
I think that should be next step of this life plan. Fake a disability, ride that out until, you know, you get your disability. then we'll have health insurance till 65.
Or we could just pay for insurance, I guess.
I guess that's what we're going to have to do.
Yeah, because I don't think either one of us are probably dishonest enough to fake a disability. Although it seems to be an entire industry around here.
Oh, no doubt.
That's why we're joking about it. It's that bad.
We bitch about it all the time.
Yeah, I saw a newspaper article, and I don't have it up. I saw one last week about, like, it was by state.
Yeah.
What injury happened disproportionately to the population? it was so funny. Like, somebody had done a study on it, and I was looking at our area. Kentucky was falls,
but
my home state, West Virginia, was unspecified back injuries.
Exactly. Bunch of damn fakers.
Yes. Like, you can have horrible, crippling diseases and not get disability in West Virginia, but if your back hurts, they give you money.
The fall thing in Kentucky, what do you think that is? Just a bunch of drunks or old people that's
I think
stubborn?
Y'all idiots get climb up a tree once a year in the fall with a gun and fall out of it.
Deer hunting.
Drop your gun.
Yeah, deer hunting and tree stands definitely contribute to the falling thing.
Us idiots, we just have back problems.
I envision us Kentuckians hanging lights off our trailers. I can see that being a fall hazard.
One. Yeah, that's a big one.
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably the hunting thing, I suppose. Also,
that's
getting
what I
drunk.
Thought.
Also,
instantly.
Getting drunk and falling down. I'm sure we'd get drunk and
fall.
Hey,
y'all, watch this.
Hold my beer. Yeah, and your back pain in West Virginia, you're exactly right. That's disability exaggerating. That's faking disability shit, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
It has to be.
Yeah, 100%. And it always, like, kind of gets my goat because my dad legitimately has horrible, debilitating back pain. And they told him he needed surgery for it. And he worked for, like, to retirement. Okay. He was already retired when he was seeing this doctor. The doctor told him he needed to not lift anything over 20 pounds. So he bought a freaking forklift on the way home because he wasn't about to quit doing stuff. Told him not to lift over 20 pounds.
But he does all the time.
I know.
I mean, he lifts all kinds of stuff.
I know.
And that's and that's another problem with the medical field that I'm in, since we're on this topic. Like, how do you know when people are faking? When they tell you they're dying, I can't do anything, I can't work. And then you see them out there digging ditches, welding,
out, yeah. you know, lifting their boats up on their trailer. And you're like, yep. well, how are you supposed to take that? Well, obviously, it's just.
I get it. And he, like, saves up all of his energy to be able to do something for a couple of days. And then he's an absolute mess, like, laying in the floor. And
I guess. Well, my deal got signed. I am officially not in the medical field anymore.
You are retired.
I hate that word. There needs to be some. I've figured out this. There definitely needs to be some sort of word for when you've worked somewhere, say 25 years, my situation. Because, you know, retired conjures to me up this image of somebody that's worked in some job that they hate for years and years and years. And then now they get to quit that job they hate and actually enjoy life.
And you didn't hate it.
I loved my job. I loved it. I was in a medical field. We had six offices. My business partner, 50-50 business partner, bought me out for a large sum. And I worked my ass off for it. I deserve every penny of it. So I don't.
Well, tell them, Hank.
So I don't feel bad about that. I don't feel bad about any of it.
Well, it was a win-win situation. We recently bought some property. And you're spending your time doing property management and development, and your business partner wants to open more offices. So it just was a great time to kind of split it.
Yeah,
it worked separate ways.
It worked out great. But I'm totally, like I said, it's just retired is just not the word that fits this. There is no word to fit when you just kind of change gears, when you do something different, but you're not retiring. I don't know.
I mean, I quote retired from like lab work and went back to school, and I've passed all my state boards, and now I'm ready to go back to work. It's just we had this big deal going on. We needed like full focus for the last few weeks, and I'm getting ready to go do hair.
Well, you know, with this property management stuff, and it's only going to take as much. It's one of these things. It's going to be as much time as I want it to take.
Yep.
If I want to work 5 hours a week, I can make it work 5 hours a week. And we have tons of rentals and properties. 5 hours a week works fine.
Yeah.
Or
you could spend a lot more time.
Or I could spend 75 hours a week if I wanted.
Don't do that.
I'm not going to.
Like, you had a busy day today. We're still organizing. It's still
right.
digging in, organizing. I had a consultation today on QuickBooks. There's still a lot to figure out and put our stamp on it. So
there is.
We're pretty busy.
So it certainly gives me something to do, but it's just odd. It's just odd. Like I said, there's not really a word for what we have done here. We pulled a switcheroo.
We have.
Changed careers, sort of retired from one. I don't know.
Anyway. We need to take a vacation and then.
Yeah. Health insurance.
We're going on our next phase.
Yeah, I keep thinking that next stage of life. But that sounds like you're ready to die.
Yeah,
it does. Going in a nursing home.
Yeah, or you're going to like morph into a butterfly or something weird.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, this health insurance is going to cost us $1,000 a month is what health insurance costs.
Dang. Well.
And we've got an average plan. It's not the super deluxe plan, but it's not the shitty one either. But yeah, $1,000 a month. We're going to be on COBRA. Whatever that big acronym is, where my former place of employment is going to, pays the premiums. We pay the former place of employment back.
Okay.
So they pay $1,000 a month to Blue Cross Blue Shield. We pay $1,000 back to them to reimburse them to the company.
Okay. That works.
Yeah. So that's how it's going to work. But I mean, did you realize it was $1,000 a month?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's for a family of two. And that's probably average.
Yeah. I was paying out of pocket for me. And I think when I was working, I think it was half and half. I was paying 400 and some a month.
And there you go.
They were pulling that out of my my paycheck. So,
yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. Health insurance is extremely expensive.
It is. So, we got that. And we found some. I've been digging around. On an Apple channel.
Okay.
You know, but an Apple.
Our Apple
what do you
TV.
Call that?
We have Apple TV.
Yeah, it's one of
Apple
the
blocks.
apps. That's not even right either. Well, it's Vimeo. Vimeo. Whatever that is.
Vimeo?
Vimeo? I don't know. I've been playing around on it. It's a, it's an alternative to YouTube as far as it's, you saw it. It's kind of artsy fartsy films and videos and some of it's kind of trippy.
Some of it was some weird stuff that you were kind of not paying attention to, but it was playing in the background. And I'm like, what the heck are you watching?
I found a decent music video or so and whatever. And I did come across this and we ended up watching the whole damn thing.
Yeah.
All right. We found, and I would recommend this for anybody that's a Star Wars fan. It's called The War of the Stars, and it's a grindhouse film. Well, what they've done, they've taken Star Wars, they've re-edited it. This is the first one, The New Hope. Like, what, the one from the 70s?
Yes. It was Star Wars when it came out.
Okay, well, they've re-edited it grindhouse style.
I think they even used some of the, like, the bad clips, the bad takes. I mean,
outtakes.
I mean, they've taken every scrap of stuff, slapped it together, put blood special effects where they could.
Yeah, when stormtroopers get shot, there's blood splatters everywhere. Darth Vader's voice has been redubbed to somebody that says fuck and like all kinds of.
But then the rest of the lines are the regular lines, but they're not quite the ones that you know by heart because.
Well, and R2-D2's, when his beeps and boops.
Yeah, that's
are subtitled. So, and they're funny and dirty. So, I don't know. And then the music, there's parts of it where they put montages of like this grindhouse style 70s music in there.
It's the weirdest thing.
I think it's pretty trippy. I liked it.
I was kind of like, oh God, Hank, what are we watching now? And I was in the kitchen and the next thing I know, like I'm sitting on the couch beside it. We're like two little kids watching this.
Yeah. And in the middle of it, there's a little intermission short film that they've put together. It's kind of funny, really. I was going to say it's kind of disturbing, but it's cartoon characters. It's like cartoon characters, nuclear holocaust. It's really dark.
It's weird. It's just weird. It's like the intermission where you're supposed to go to the concession stand.
Yeah. They've taken that concept and turned it into thermonuclear holocaust.
It's just bad. It's just, and we're laughing at it.
So Vimeo. I'd recommend it. War of the Stars.
War of the Stars.
And it's
two thumbs up from the Hank and Petra movie review.
Yeah. So if you get a chance, check that out. I would recommend it. And also found this that we're going to watch later. I'll give it a little tease. Mm-hmm. But I went ahead and looked up if that happened to be on YouTube as well.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think it is. There's a 5-minute trailer for it, but it's not on there. Not the full thing.
Oh, so you have to.
On this Vimeo.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the whole 2 hours on there, the whole movie.
The whole movie. And it's worth watching because there are things that, you know, you haven't watched A New Hope in years, probably. Not really. And it's just a different spin on it.
Well, and for whatever reason, though, as I'm looking at this, and we'll check this out, too. Look at this first one on YouTube. War of the Stars Part 2.
The Future in Motion Full Fan Edit.
Yep. So they've, I was scrolling through it. They've done, I don't know if it's grindhouse style or not, but it's definitely an edit for the rest of these films. It's like 2 hours and 13 minutes long.
We are so going to watch that.
I think so, too.
That's our weekend plan. We're such nerds.
Well, we're retired now, so there we go. That's what we got to do. Shuffleboard in the morning, bingo in the afternoon.
Who are you kidding? You don't get up early enough to play shuffleboard.
Early bird special at the Golden Corral at 4 o'clock. Ah, that's good.
Oh, God. No.
And speaking of life being good, how about Playboy going back to being nude?
Oh, great, Hank. Great lead-in.
Why on earth did they ever stop? Like I told you on the way here, this will be if they survive something like this, and they probably will.
It's there's like always new Coke.
Yeah, it's like the Coke thing. This will go down as one of those what-the-fuck-were-you-thinking company moments.
Yeah.
In their history. Apparently in 2015, I was looking up when this happened. Mm-hmm. In fall of 2015, the then Playboy CEO, Scott Flanders, said, no, we're not going to publish nude pictures anymore. No more nude pictures of women.
Well.
So that's lasted, what, 2 years now?
Yeah, so 2 years.
Yeah, so a 2-year run of this. And now the guy that put out today, he's not the CEO, but he's chief creative officer.
Okay.
Connor Hefner.
Hefner. You think he's related.
He's a 25-year-old son of Hugh Hefner. Hugh Hefner is 90. So do the math.
Yeah, do the math there. Who slept with him?
At 75. So, no matter who did it and whatever, I applaud. I think it's a good move.
Yeah, because Playboy is, like we were talking about, it's artistic nudes. Like there's...
I think so too.
There's Playboy, which is artistic boobs and bush. And then there's Hustler, which is just
open leg,
an
anatomy class.
It is.
You could teach an anatomy class from Hustler.
You could. That's what you get when you look at porn sites online, mostly.
Yeah, it's not exactly super artistic.
No, it's not. It's just, looking at spread eagle.
And I haven't, honestly, who would? This is, in this day and age, I get it why Playboy needs to try different things. I mean, you can get on the internet and find, no, it may not be the quality of a Playboy shoot artistic-wise, but you can get on the internet and find about anything.
Limitless options.
Right. So I can see where they're struggling in that way. But for them to dull down their magazine to the point of like it just if they don't show nudes, then they're just Maxim. Then what the hell's the difference between them and Maxim or whatever, you know?
Well, I think most magazines that have been around for a long time have to shake things up every now and then. A lot of women's magazines periodically go through like the identity crisis and try to have just a different style of article for a while.
Right.
Yeah. And then, you know, nobody really renews their subscription to it. Nobody picks it up anymore because they're not known for that. And then, you know, they have to go back to what they're known for.
Do you think they were trying to appease women in some way? Are women offended by Playboy anymore?
I don't think by Playboy. I think we still find Hustler distasteful.
I can see that.
It's not our thing, most of us. I'm speaking for most of us.
Sure, I get it. You're not speaking for every woman in the world. But
I think probably a lot more women subscribe to Maxim than Playboy. And that's because of writing and Hugh Hefner. Like, Hugh Hefner is kind of distasteful to women.
Hugh Hefner is?
Yeah.
I wonder why that is. He seems like just an old dude having fun.
No, he's sleazy. Him and his, you know, house full of hoochies.
Well, I guess he is. I guess sleazy's a...
He is just a little sleazy, you know? And that's... I'm not saying that he's grotesque. I'm not...
Yeah, I
know,
get it.
But it's just... Like, if I were in an airport trying to pick up something to read, getting on a plane, and it was... Like, what was sitting in front of me was Playboy and Maxim. 100% of the time, I'll pick up Maxim.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. And this has been a running joke forever, but I think it was actually probably at one time sort of true. Didn't they have pretty good writers and articles
at
one
time? Used to be, yeah. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just don't understand where their formula, where they thought it had gone wrong. But whatever.
You know, and there's... so many different, you know, the pictures, the porn pictures. There's so many different opinions on it. And I'm not going to knock anybody for ever, you know, it's your thing. And if you don't like it, you don't like it. So, but you don't have to buy it. Like, if you don't like those pictures, don't buy Playboy, don't buy Maxim, certainly don't buy Hustler. I don't think we should have to look at it all the time. It's kind of funny. I mean, at least it's not in the grocery lines when you're checking out places. I mean, you do usually have to go to the back of the store and drugstore somewhere to pick them up.
Here's what Connor Hefner said. This is quote, "I'll be the first to admit that the way in which the magazine portrayed nudity was dated, but removing it entirely was a mistake. Nudity was never the problem because nudity isn't a problem. Today, we're taking our identity back and reclaiming who we are." I think that's a very well-written statement.
I think that is, too. I think it's well thought out. Don't know if he did it, but maybe he did. Maybe he did.
Yeah.
And it is their identity. So
it says Playboy was first published, of course, by Hugh Hefner, 1953, Marilyn Monroe. Wow. Marilyn Monroe on the cover with risque photos inside. She wasn't totally nude, apparently, in that first episode or at first.
God, could you imagine how much that issue would be worth now?
Gosh, yeah. Imagine a signed copy of that.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
1953. And that's where, and you're right, he is kind of sleazy. I guess he gives off that vibe.
He does.
But there's some part of me that also, I wasn't alive in 1950. But, I mean, think about this. We're talking 1953 to start publishing a magazine with
girly
nudes.
Pictures of celebrities.
That dude, it was groundbreaking at a minimum.
Yeah.
I mean, at a minimum, he got people in America talking about sex and things, and at least that was something. So I'm going to give that dude credit for that.
Absolutely. I'm not going to take that away from him. But and I don't think it does by saying he's got a sleazy grandpa.
Yeah, I get it. At a certain age, when you're 80, 90 years old, and you've got two 20-year-olds on each side of you, it gives off a sleaze vibe.
It does.
I know what you're saying.
It does. And I'm not offended by it.
Yeah, good for him.
I'm just kind of lip sneering.
Hell, he's doing something right. He's 90 years old.
He's got a lot of money.
And remember when the Playboy Mansion was for sale?
Stuck with him until he fucking
dies. That was one of the stipulations was if you buy it, he has to stay there, be able to stay there till he dies.
Yeah.
Again, it sounds kind of cool until you realize he's a 90-year-old dude walking around randomly.
In his pajamas.
Yeah, with young, hot women, that part would be okay, I guess. But then you see him coming around the corner like, ah, it ruined it all. It's not right.
Get out of my refrigerator.
sit down with Hugh and watch some Sopranos or watch some TV with Hugh next to you.
Yeah, that's just weird. Well, I think I've told the story on here before, but I'll tell it again because it was just so funny. I used to live close to my family, and I had a glass door and didn't always keep that curtain closed because there was nobody else around. And I was cleaning one day and like flipping through channels just because I usually keep television on when I'm cleaning. And I'm flipping through and something kind of catches my eye here. So I'm standing here watching this and I'm just like, repulsed. It was disgusting. Okay, there's like these blonde dingbats with these little tiny dogs like pooping all over this fancy house, and they're like doing arts and crafts and stepping in dog shit, and I'm just like, what the hell is this? And finally there's a knock on my door by a little brother who lives in the area, is dying laughing on the porch. He's like, I forget the name of the show, but it was the Hugh Hefner show where...
Were those two chicks?
Yeah.
There's
three of them. There's three girlfriends.
Okay.
Like, I don't know. It was Playboy Bunny something or other, but like, it was a reality television
show.
Which we know is staged, but it was just... It was too much for me to process. And he was kicking his feet, laying on the porch, dying laughing. Because he's like, your head was just like a dog that didn't know what to make of something. And he was like, you just went this way, and then this way. And then and he's like, and I could feel how horrified you were outside. This is awful.
America just wasn't ready for three ways with 80-year-olds.
back in the day, were they?
I don't think even then that that was going on.
80-year-old with three ways of, 20, 30-year-olds.
I don't think there was enough Viagra. Not ready yet. No, I don't think that was happening. I saw 10 minutes of the show. I don't think it was happening.
Oh, well. Chairman Meow.
I put Pod Cat down.
Little fat cat.
She is. She's a sweetie.
All right. You've got some articles?
Yeah. You're going to have to give me a couple minutes to get my iPad loaded up again. I've got the one now that has the gazillion number code.
Yeah.
All right. I love this article.
That's pretty fast. What's this one about?
All right. This is from Refinery 29, which always has some really good articles in here by Kimberly Truong, Truong.
Okay.
I don't know how I butchered that last name. Good job,
Kimberly.
This is a great article. Thank you, Kimberly. This woman was sent a bill for refusing a second date.
Good. We're tired of you chicks standing us up. We should bill for our services.
All right there. I'm just giving him a goofy look. All right. After going on a date with a man she met on a dating app, okay, London-based clothes designer Lucy Brown decided that she wasn't interested in a second date and texted to let him know, as anyone should.
Yes.
However, she wasn't prepared for his reaction.
So they did go out once?
They went out once.
Okay.
Yeah, they met on a dating app, went out one time.
All right, got it.
While the man in question didn't exactly go off the rails, he didn't take it too well either. He replied to tell her that he was devastated and asked that she pay him back for the drinks I spent on you.
From the first date?
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah.
Well, you know, us guys just have to eat that cost. That's just part of it.
Well, if you insist on paying for the first date, then you've got a chance that you might not get squat for that.
We're taking a chance.
You're taking a chance.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
That is when, that's the weird, because there are some chicks that if you don't pay, you'll never get a second date because they think you're cheap. You know, even if they offer, it's almost a test. I get it. I get it. You guys are kind of set up for failure there.
I've never not paid for dates stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I suppose maybe at one time somewhere down the line, somebody might have insisted like, no, I'm dead serious. I want to pay for this. Then whatever. But I don't ever remember that happening.
I think the most spectacularly cheap date I've ever been on.
Yeah.
This guy ate a sandwich on the way there and took me out to Wendy's to pay for my meal. And he was a fucking chemical engineer who lived in his parents' house.
Dang.
It wasn't that he didn't have money. Okay.
Sounds like an episode of Big Bang Theory.
It was. And spent the whole time trying to convince me he was cool enough to be my date, and like I just kind of left him.
Dang.
I just kind of left him.
Oh, I can't. Can you imagine all the dummies that are out there trying to somehow bang
make
into each
connection.
Other and make a connection with other dummies? Can you imagine some of the dumbass dates that go on out there?
Oh, I've been on a few, but all right. all right. She said, when I got the text, I was crying with laughter. I honestly thought he was joking, but then I realized he was serious. She said, hi, thanks for your honesty. I had a really nice time with you, and the truth is I'm a bit devastated having read your note. This is his thing. This
yeah.
is his text.
Okay.
I really fancied you and saved up some money to take you on a nice date. As it didn't work out, I'd be grateful if you could send along something to contribute for the drinks I spent on you, thinking I'd at least get to see you again. Wow. He asked for a reimbursement. The total cost of the night was roughly $106.
Damn.
He also asked her to her not to send back his watch, which she accidentally took home. They were playing, like, he had her hat, she had his watch. They were kind of playing goofy games.
Yeah.
All right.
So she had his watch?
She had his watch. He said,
well, she should at least give that back.
He says, this is great. As it'd be too painful to receive the watch in the post and remind me of you. That's in quotes.
In the post.
In the post. This is, they're English. This is, yeah. He did, however, think she'd be interested to know that the cost of the watch was 20 pounds. That'd be, I guess, about 30 bucks. So
he spent $105 in drinks and he's got a $20 watch.
Yeah, yeah.
Hell, just let her keep the fucking watch.
All right. Ultimately, Brown paid him back about $52.
She paid him back
for her half of the drinks, which she says he insisted on paying for, and donated the same amount to a donkey sanctuary for symbolism's sake.
A donkey sanctuary.
Jackass sanctuary. Jackass.
Yes, that dude is a jackass.
I love
jackass.
This woman. She is my hero.
Yeah, that's pretty, that's a hell of a move. But I wouldn't have sent him anything. You can't reply to any of that shit because you get the, so you're telling me there's a chance syndrome. Like, I wouldn't have replied anything to that. It's good that she made a funny article out of it and made it turned into a story that we're reading, and it's great.
Yeah.
But any chick out there who's thinking about this, unless you're a reporter and you're wanting to get a story out of it, do not reply.
Let it die.
Just don't ever answer that text. Block the number, whatever you got to do. But you can't reply to that shit.
Yeah.
Us guys don't understand. We're shaved monkeys.
Well, there's a whole movement trying to get through to you guys.
Yeah.
And trying to get through to parents to teach their little boys that beating up on girls is not flirting.
Yeah.
So.
Well, right. That goes without saying.
Yeah. Yeah. But.
Well, what a crazy dude. That's just a dumbass.
Yeah. That's sad, actually. It really is. And.
Yeah,
don't pay for dates you can't afford, too. That's setting up unrealistic expectations.
Yeah, and I, this is where real world meets whatever. When you're out of your parents' basement, how it works in the world, like it or not, if you don't have a little bit of money, you're not going to get girlfriends, dates, all that shit.
You might, but you got to look where you're aiming a little bit.
I suppose, but at some point, you're going to have to take somebody. Like, you could make a date, a cheap date, like you're talking about, coffee.
Yeah.
You know, during the day or a few things. But that only goes so far. Sooner or later, mm-hmm. you've got to take somebody somewhere that costs something. A real meal, movies, something.
Yeah.
And if you don't have any money, then you're just fuck out of luck. That's just how the hell it is.
Well, if you are dating a
at least if you're a guy.
Bitch,
at least if you're a guy.
I'm thinking.
Well, you
I mean,
can.
I've
come on. None of you girls want to go out with a broke ass guy. Come on.
Not for all eternity, but like we understand that if you're like fresh out of college in your first job or.
Sure. I'm not saying you expect a four-course meal at the, you know, but things cost. Like you said, you were just making fun of a dude that took you to Wendy's. Of course.
You know what? The guy was so cheap, he squeaked. Okay.
Yeah.
This was an extreme, like, actually, I think he had. This is a guy who turned into a stalker. He had some major issues. All right. This was not normal. There were problems with him. That was one of the multiple symptoms that I needed to get the hell out of there as quick as possible. I think a lot more women than you're giving credit to are a lot less money grubbing. I mean, you've said this all the time about all kinds of professional women around here, and you're like, I don't understand how they can, you know, hook up with these guys that work manual labor jobs.
Sometimes it does. You're right.
If you're good to us, it doesn't matter how expensive that good is.
I suppose, and you do have some friends that are exceptions for sure. They're women who make a lot more than their guys,
But we've read a million articles on here how usually that's not the case. That's not the norm. Normally,
you know, I don't know what is normal anymore. Yeah, I don't what know. Is normal anymore?
Well, you know, that's a good point. Whatever.
Yeah, as long as
all right, my
both
only,
parties feel
sure, whatever
appreciated.
Here's my only point, I guess. What I'm trying to get at is, you're more likely to have dates and get women if you have some money. I will stick by that till I die.
You're more likely to date gold diggers if you have money, is what I'm going to stick with.
They may not be the highest quality. I will give you that. I'm not saying they're the greatest catches in the world, but you are going to have more dates and all that, and I'll stick with that.
I'm going to say that, especially on the early stages of getting to know each other and dating, you usually don't hang out at each other's house, apartment, whatever. Once you're out of college, or once you're out of school, or your parents' house, or your parents' basement, you know, you kind of meet some neutral territory, and you kind of have to pay rent for that space, whether it's dinner or movie.
Right.
You know, there are free dates, but there are a lot of dates that cost some money, and it's hard to date if you can't at least afford that.
That's exactly what I'm saying. All right, perfect.
And I think it goes equally for women.
Yeah.
But we pay a tax that you guys don't even take into consideration, because every day we have hair and makeup and clothing and all kinds of crap that you guys never freaking worry about.
Yep, I'm with you. It's all worth it to buy you guys drinks, to have you guys look nice and pretty and all that. Well worth the trade-off.
Okay.
Don't complain about it. All right, tell me about, you've got speaking of ladies, you've got another story about some.
Yeah, I thought
interesting
this was cool.
Profession,
this popped
I believe,
up.
Right?
This popped up on CNBC. Meet a professional mermaid.
A professional mermaid.
Yeah. Yeah, from Jane Wells. Lyndon Wolbert.
Good job.
That's her name, is a mermaid. No,
has
really,
she been
she
genetically
is.
Modified? Can she breathe underwater?
No, but she can hold her breath for over 5 minutes while diving 115 feet below the surface of the ocean.
Holy shit, that's pretty impressive.
Yes!
She almost has gills.
She does. She does. All right. This is a long story.
Yeah, summarize.
She
you know.
Created a character in 2006.
Okay.
Mermaid Lyndon, and she has been doing appearances.
Okay.
And she can charge up to $6,000 an appearance, which she has to have like an assistant to help her with this 8-foot long tail. It's crazy.
Dang.
Like, let me show you this picture.
That'd be pretty impressive. Why not?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's her flipper.
Her flipper. Yeah. She designed and built her own flipper. And she did the deep water diving before she did all this.
You know, somewhere there's got to be a whole genre of mermaid fetish.
I don't even think
there's got to be. Somebody's out there.
I think it's one that's like more of a female fetish than a male fetish, though.
Maybe.
Women are obsessed with unicorns and mermaids.
Well, mermaids or mermen. I guess if you're a lesbian, you could be into mermaids.
No, I don't think it's not a sexual fetish.
Okay.
Like, it's like there's, if you go on Pinterest right now, there are probably thousands of mermaid boards.
Mermaid crazy?
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
well, if there's guys into it, I'm saying
it's sexualized.
There has to be a sexual fetish for us guys for mermaids. I guarantee it. There has to be. And I bet this chick's the queen of all of them.
I bet. Well, there's.
Well, she may not be nude. I'm not implying she does nude stuff. I'm just saying, I'll bet there's a million photographs of this chick.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'll just bet the mermaid fetish industry is a booming with her.
Well, this is a great tie back. Further down in the article, it says more parties followed, along with educational appearances at aquariums and county fairs. She says her only mistake was attending a children's charity event at the Playboy Mansion.
Children's charity at the Playboy Mansion. Well,
she says, I was in the grotto, grimacing a bit. I just kind of smiled and looked out of place. She was overdressed.
Well, I guess. Well, it was for children.
Yeah, but she's got her own YouTube channel. She does appearances. She's out of California, so no, we can't, unless we want to pay for her to come over. I don't think we're going to get her in Kentucky.
I don't think
we'd have to build a pool.
I don't think she'd like swimming around in a big sandy river.
Probably not. She says her business went from guppy to whale when Mermaid Linden ran into the president of water sports brand Body Glove. So now she has her own line of, it started
flippers.
Flippers for kids, and now they're making flippers for adults because they sold so well and adults kept trying to use them.
That's pretty awesome.
I think so too.
I like when people make a living doing stuff.
Just doing
that they,
exactly what she wants to do. That's fantastic.
And making a hell of a living at it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
that's awesome.
Sorry.
When we were at Margaritaville in Las Vegas, there's a mermaid swimming around in that giant Margaritaville. Or, I mean, that giant margarita glass. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, there is. Isn't there? Or does she have a tail or not? She had a tail, didn't she?
I think so.
Okay.
So yeah. this is a whole industry. If you're right, there's probably mermaids everywhere.
I don't think she gets her hair wet, though.
Did you ever see the, I don't remember where I saw this, on some goofy channel. There's a whole documentary on mermaids and mermen.
Really?
Have you seen that?
No, uh-uh.
You know, a whole, it's done in that, that In Search Of style from the 70s of, or Looking for Bigfoot, you know. Any documentary on something that's.
Well,
you know,
I mean, they always talk about it being either seals or manatees or something like that that people saw, which I'm kind of like.
Apparently manatees was the big one.
Really? You think that's a sexy lady? You've been out to sea a long time.
Yeah.
They're cute, but not in that way.
Yeah. The sea cow, they're literally called sea cows, manatees.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're
sea
cute,
cows,
but not.
Mermaids. Yeah, whatever.
Whatever, you know,
that documentary is entertaining though. If you like that, like I said, that cryptoid.
What was the one that had like the monster mermaids that had like the monster faces that like in the camera?
It's probably that documentary. I think that's it. Yeah.
Okay.
Because at the end of it, they supposedly find one on the beach.
Yeah. Well, I think people have been sewing together dead babies and big fish for years and calling it a dead mermaid.
Yeah, there's always
that's
been
terrible.
A bit of a...
I really just said that.
No, that's what they do. So, yeah, good for mermaids. Why not?
Why not? Hey, she's doing what she loves and... Yeah, you're right. But I really think it's one of those weird female obsessions that's not quite... It's not a sexual fetish. It's just an obsession.
Hmm. Well, maybe it's a thing now. Unicorns been your girl's things forever.
Unicorns and mermaids and... Like, they even have mermaid tail snuggies out.
I have seen that.
Yeah. And I kind of thought for a minute, hey, my feet get cold. That looks like a good idea. And I was like, Hank would kill me.
I think that's pretty clever. All right. Well, with mermaids and your chick you're talking about and your little tail you're talking about being embarrassed.
Uh-huh.
This is the most embarrassing thing.
That's downright humiliating.
Oh, to have been here at this thing, if you knew what was happening, because I think nobody said anything while it was happening, so you wouldn't have known. But if you could have known what was happening
in that moment,
in this moment, and then look at everybody trying not to, it would be phenomenal.
Yeah, this, I love the title of this.
Here's what I'm talking about. This is a German women's tennis team that apparently won a tournament in Hawaii. They keep calling it the Fed Cup. I don't know if it's an acronym or what it's short for. I thought it might
we
be
don't
like,
follow tennis, so we don't know.
I thought it might be like Federal Express. You know how they all these companies, but it never in this article say anything about Federal Express.
Because the company, whatever company it is, does not want associated
maybe,
with this shit.
Maybe that's what it is. But
it's a steaming pile of caca.
They just call it the Fed Cup. So, and apparently from reading this article, what I can gather from it, at the end, they do it like Olympic style. Whatever country won this event got...
They play their national anthem.
Yeah, and not just played it, but this guy, they brought somebody over to actually sing it. So a live singer singing a national anthem from Germany when they won this event recently. Here's the problem. This dude is singing the wrong German national anthem. He is singing the German national anthem from World War II when Hitler was in office.
God, in America, which we're like the most screwed up country in the world right now.
Can you believe that? So, and I guess these German kids, I thought about that too. Like, how do they even know? But you know,
that's their history. It's real to them.
They know. I've heard from a German exchange student that my aunt had that every kid, literally, in their school system, they have a class on basically how fucked up Germany was in World War One and World War Two, and how we're never going back to that bullshit again. Yeah, it's an indoctrination of, we really fucked up. We admit it. Here's how it happened. Here's what happened. And you little fuckers are never doing this again, pretty much.
This is what we're going to need in about 5 years.
Well, maybe we need it. But anyhow, so they knew that this was the national anthem from Hitler era. And look at this kid. Look at his face in this picture.
Yeah, like
too.
Some of them are not hiding this at all. They're pained. You could tell. Like, and how did this guy that could sing in German not know what the heck he was doing? Or did he do it on purpose? Is he an asshole?
I suppose it's possible. That'd be a hell of an asshole move. I would assume he just got the wrong. You know how it goes. I'm going to defend a little bit. Hell, I don't know. I mean, we all make mistakes. I can just see somebody like doing an internet search, German national anthem. Boom, something pops up. Oh, that's the German national anthem. Writes that down, goes to the site. Oh, okay, there's the words for that. Boom. I can see it skipping some steps.
Wow.
It's a bad mistake. And I'm given.
So this guy wasn't German that sang?
I do not know. Don't know that part.
Oh, he screwed up, German or not.
The German coach, Barbara Ritter, told the AFP, whatever that is, that she considered snatching the microphone from the singer.
You know, it wouldn't have been that bad. Go, girl.
Quote, I could have cried because it's always a special moment, which gives you goosebumps when you hear the anthem being played, Ritter said. They all made apologies, of course, you know, and everybody was sorry and all that. But yeah, all the Germans, the whole tennis team sitting there listening to this awkwardness.
It's just kind of weird, though, because hasn't the German chancellor had run-ins with our president-elect lately? Like, basically, she had to explain the Geneva Convention to him. Like, you signed our country signed the convention, we take refugees.
No, I don't know.
So, I mean, it's like, she's amazing. So, I don't know. That just seems a little weird and big coincidence. But I'm going to be a conspiracy nut for 4 years, everybody. Sorry.
Well, it may be. I don't know. Apparently, there's a dude singing it. There's video of him. So, you know, if you think he's purposely done that on purpose or if you think it's an accident, whatever.
I don't know.
But it is awkward.
Weird, awkward, bad.
Yeah. And we wouldn't have known. If we were there, we wouldn't have known anyway.
Yeah, we would stand up, be nice, and everything, have no clue.
No, we wouldn't have known. And they all put on their good poker faces, I guess, except that one kid that looks like he's about to.
Good for him. I support him. Yeah, he looks just like, what?
He looks like
hell?
He's about to get smacked in the face by somebody.
Yeah.
And he can't do a thing about it.
Yep.
Oh, well. Petra, tell people about our website.
We have an awesome website, hillbillynerdtalk.com.
And it's back up.
It's working. We can publish podcasts now.
Yes. For a while it was not. But now it's working fine.
And from that, you can follow Hank on Twitter, which he's pretty funny, and Facebook. And I have a Pinterest board.
Yes.
So you can find us in multiple places.
Yes.
Share us with friends if you know somebody that might enjoy our hillbilly ways.
Yes. Share the podcast. And everybody, we'll talk to you next week.